May be seated. All right, as we move along in this home court advantage sermon series that we're in, so 2 weeks ago, Henry kicked this off, and we were at the end of Joshua's life when he made this confession in front of the people. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, which is going to be our doorpost verse now for the next couple months. And so last week I started with where Joshua first pops up in the Bible, and today will be the same thing. And both of these passages from last week and today are in Exodus. And it's interesting to me that I'm doing the two sermons on Exodus when there's another pastor here who would do every sermon on Exodus if he could. I don't know how that worked out, Henry. But anyway, so let's take a look at Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 and following. That's where the event that we're going to be talking about today is at. Exodus 24, beginning with verse 3. I'm going to read the first few verses. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." So what's going on here in these verses I just read? Well, in a nutshell, God is confirming the covenant that he has made with his people. So let's define what a covenant is. A covenant is a mutual agreement between two or more tribes, nations, or individuals to do or refrain from doing something. So far in the Bible, God's made covenant with Noah. When he destroyed the world with a flood, he made a covenant with Noah after the flood. He made a covenant with Abraham, who would be the father of many generations. And now he is confirming this covenant that he is making with his people here in Exodus 24. And if you noticed, what did the people say? "We will do everything that you say, God." Anybody catch that? "We will do everything." So God is confirming to them that he is going to be their God. He is going to continue to be with them always. It's really a covenant of grace. But there's one thing here. I don't want to bury the lead of what I just read. Did you catch it? Moses threw blood on the people. Did anybody react to that? I thought about demonstrating this for y'all. But then I thought again, maybe that's not a good idea to throw blood on the people. He kept half of the blood in basins. The other half of the blood went onto the altar. And then he took the blood that was in the basins and threw it on the people. What in the world is going on here? I'll get to that in a second. There's one other thing to notice from these verses that I just read to you. So the blood being thrown on the people and the reading and writing of the word of God connected with that blood unified the people with God. Don't miss this little nugget in here also. God always had Moses writing this stuff down. And then Moses read it to the people. This shows us how important and how dear God holds his word that he has given us. This word is very important to God. It's very important to him that we read this word to each other, which is what Moses did after he got these words and instructions from God. You know, we also should hold this word dear to our hearts. And that's what this home court advantage thing is all about, God's word. So let's get to this blood. Why did it have to be blood, and what were they doing? Why were they throwing it on each other? If you wondered that, you know, a lot of times in these passages, when we get to these passages about all this blood, the sacrificing of animals and blood being spilled and collecting blood in buckets, we necessarily really don't like to talk about these things because it's kind of gross. Is anybody with me? Blood's a little icky. I have trouble looking at my own blood, let alone somebody else's. That's what just makes me respect doctors and nurses and paramedics so much more, that God has gifted them with the ability to help people who are bleeding or whatever is going on. But this also, so all this blood talk also reminded me something from my first year of marriage. That does not sound good. But what it does remind me, so my wife Zara and I got married in October. November was our first Thanksgiving together. So we actually got to spend that first Thanksgiving together alone. We didn't have any family. We weren't able to go anywhere. Nobody was able to come visit us, so it was just us. You know, that first year of marriage, you're in that honeymoon phase, and you love each other so much. And she wanted to make me an amazing Thanksgiving meal. And so I was outside doing some stuff, and I came walking back in the house, and I went into the kitchen where Zara was getting things ready, and I walk into an interesting scene. My wife, wearing dish gloves up to her elbows, standing there over the sink with the raw turkey out like this. She's like, "I can't do it, Scott. I can't touch it. I don't want to get the stuff out. There's blood. Can you help me?" She still won't touch raw meat to this day. That's my job. But the point here is, in order for us to have Thanksgiving, a life has to be taken, the turkeys, and there's blood. That's what I thought about when I saw that blood was a theme here in this passage. So why the blood? Why did God require this blood? Well, Moses explained in Leviticus 17, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." In other words, we're dead without blood. There's no life. The fact that God required this blood, these sacrifices of these animals, to atone, to cover up their sins, shows us how serious sin is. This is why they had to do this. This is why God gave them this very complex sacrificial system in the Old Testament times. Because he hates sin. And hate isn't even a big enough word. He loathes it. He can't stand it. And so he has to punish it. There has to be something that's going to take care of this sin disease, this virus that we all share. So this is why he had them kill these animals, take their blood, throw it on the altar. The other stuff was thrown on the people to signify the covenant that they were making with God. And this blood thing is a common theme throughout the Bible. Whenever you see blood in the Bible, pay attention. Something important is going on. So these poor animals, it seems kind of mean that God would require the sacrifice of these animals, right? But you know what? It really shows us. It does show us how serious sin is and how much God hates it. But this also shows us how merciful and gracious God is. because he's not requiring a human life to pay for those sins. You see, this would have made sense to the Israelites back then, because a lot of the gods that people were worshiping around that time, the gods that they made up, these gods required human sacrifice. And here's a God, our Heavenly Father, who's just requiring them to sacrifice animals. There's no question about it. God delighted that his people obeyed and followed his orders on how to go through these sacrifices. He delighted that in that. And you know what? These sacrifices that they made to atone for their sins were temporary. They only covered their sins for so long, and then they had to do it again. 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 All the way up until something major happened, which was God's plan all along, to send his son, Jesus, into this world, live a perfect life on our behalf, and then shed his blood for us. And you know what? This sacrifice wasn't temporary. This sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross is permanent. It's done. Jesus' blood shed on the cross covers all of our sins, covers all the sins of all people that have ever lived on in this world and who will live on this world. It was a one-time thing, and God took care of it. You see, the blood of the old covenant was in these sacrifices that the people made. That was the blood of the old covenant. It's now replaced by the blood of the new covenant. And if you notice, when Pastor or I consecrate the communion elements every Sunday, we say the blood of the new covenant or testament, same thing as covenant, it's now replaced with that new covenant. And Jesus himself invites us to share in that gift. And his body and blood unite us all together. So let's move on to the rest of this section here, starting with verse 9. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." So here we see another interesting scene. We talk about Jesus' body and blood and this amazing meal that he gives us, unites us not only to Jesus, but to each other. It's uniting us. We're communing with each other. We are one. And that's what's happening. And I find this very interesting. If you notice where Joshua pops up here, Joshua was united with Moses. And I think this is very important. It just says these words. So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua. So far in these two passages that we've gone over last week and this week here in Exodus, Joshua hasn't said a word yet. He's only acted. Last week he obeyed the word of God and went and led the Israelites in that battle. And today we see him rising in unison with Moses, the leader of God's people. He is one with him. He doesn't question Moses, doesn't question God. He's just rising up. You see, Moses took his job of discipling Joshua very seriously. And we get this really cool picture of Joshua being united with Moses. You know, something else that this scene explained was how they and all the elders went up to a certain point on this mountain, only, and then Moses and Joshua went other ways, and then it was just Moses that went up. But I like to envision things that helps me understand things. So I'm envisioning this scene here of these guys going up this mountain in unison, you know, Moses and Joshua in the front. And it reminded me of something. So being a father of four girls, I've had the pleasure and joy of watching movies and shows that I never would have touched with a 10-foot pole had I not had daughters. And if anybody has daughters, you may know what I'm talking about. Now, I had never seen a Disney princess movie before our first was born. I know, it's amazing. But I've seen them all now, and who has seen High School Musical? Okay, there's a few of you that are willing to admit it. I've seen High School Musical 1, 2, and 3 multiple times, but this scene that I'm envisioning of these Israelite elders and Moses and Joshua going up reminded me of a song from High School Musical. We're all in this together. That's the only words I know of that song. If you want to learn more of it, you can go check it out. But we are better and stronger when we're together, us brothers and sisters in Christ. When we are working, you know, on our home teams, which is what Home Court Advantage is all about, is we're working on building our foundations of our homes with the cornerstone being Jesus. The more, I mean, we are united together with His Word. His Word unites us. And our homes will become stronger and better when we're gathered around His Word. And could you imagine if we all were doing this? And I really pray and hope you all are. How much stronger promise will be as a church as we build our foundation on God's Word with the chief cornerstone being Jesus. Imagine what we can do here in Fort Wayne. You know, the Israelites said, you know, I kind of made fun of them before because the Israelites are easy to make fun of. But it's so often we can see ourselves in it. They promised they were going to follow all the words. They were going to do whatever they said. So the passage I read was Exodus 24. A few chapters later, they were getting impatient, waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain. They crafted themselves a golden calf to worship. You know, they failed, and they will continue to fail time and again. And you know, the more we work on our homes centered around God's Word, there's going to be good times and bad times. There's going to be times where we fail at keeping Christ as the priority of our house, keeping God's Word in the center of our house. But that's exactly why God took care of this problem. You see, the blood thing was a common theme throughout the whole Bible. It's not just another random event. Anytime there's blood, pay attention. We are united because of this blood with Jesus. And this picture on the screen says it all. It's the picture on the screen says it all. The verse, anyway, is Hebrews chapter 9. Did it come up? There it is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You see, this isn't just some random thing God required of the Israelites in the Old Testament. It's been His theme from the beginning. But the fact that He loves us so much, He sent His Son Jesus, who shed His blood so that our sins can be forgiven. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are truly great and are indeed worthy of all our praise and worship. You are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We confess to you that we do not always trust in your promise of always being with us. We don't always trust that your blood was enough to cover all our sins. Please forgive us. We come before your throne now and ask that you help us to not doubt your love and presence in our lives and always trust that you are with us no matter what is going on in this world. And there indeed is so much going on. Today we ask that you be with those people in Afghanistan, our servicemen and women, and those families who lost loved ones in this war. We ask that you be with all of our leaders, helping them to follow your guidance and direction and not their own. We also ask that you continue to be with all those who are suffering from the hurricanes and the flooding that has been going on. Father, we can truly see the effects of sin in your creation. We ask for the same guidance and direction here at Promise as changes happen, helping us to always keep you as the cornerstone of our church so that we may be a light to those around us here in Fort Wayne. Finally, we want to thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you for willingly coming to earth, living a perfect life on our behalf, and shedding your blood, the blood that covers all our sins. And you did this for us because you love us. We praise and thank you. And now pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come and fill our home with your presence. You alone are worthy of our reverence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve. Lord, we vow to
On the night when Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me."